as a long distance walker and hiker and backpacker, as you probably imagine, I am a big fan of guidebooks, walking guidebooks. But you may be surprised, or some of you will be surprised, to learn that I don't actually use guidebooks for any of my walks or hikes or long distance backpacking trails. So the reason I like guidebooks is because they're a useful resource for people who want to get out there, who want to walk an unfamiliar path, and who'd like to know sort of what to expect along the way in the terms of information about areas they may visit, terrain they may encounter, flora and fauna that they may see along the way. But mainly people use guidebooks to get them from A to B, so that they have some form of navigational aid. Guidebooks these days usually come with maps included, with a trail marked out on a map. Or you can buy a map to accompany a guidebook. And the map, like I say, will have the route laid out, and you can follow that route fairly easily. And just basic map skills are required, map reading skills are required. Some guidebooks offer a step-by-step approach. You don't even need a map. They will tell you how far to walk. They will explain waypoints along the way or points of interest to keep you on track. And a guidebook can be as varied and as detailed as you want it to be. There are guidebooks, for example, for the Pennine Way that are incredibly detailed, that will tell you all about the flora and fauna along the way. They will tell you about train times to and from various parts along the Pennine Way. They will tell you the route, alternative routes. They will tell you pubs opening hours, taxis to call, shops along the way to get new hiking gear from if you need a new pair of socks, and everything. Everything you could possibly want information-wise about walking a particular trail, in this case the Pennine Way. And then there are other guidebooks for the Pennine Way that are simply a map with a route on them. And on the map there may be just a couple of key points that the author has thought necessary for you to be aware of. And those ones give you sort of a bit more freedom, if you like, to discover things for yourself. And I'm a big fan of all forms of guidebook. Although, as I said at the beginning, I don't use them myself. And the reason I don't use guidebooks is because I like to think, when I'm starting a walk, that no matter who's walked it before me, I know very little about it, or virtually nothing about the walk I'm doing. And for me, then, I can go out and enjoy it and explore it for myself without reference to somebody else's opinions or notes or preferences or even help. I'm not a big one to be handheld when I'm hiking. I'd rather just get out there and do it. And as I've mentioned in other blog posts and even in other audio boos, I'm just walking the dog at the moment, so there's a few people about, you can hear in the background. And yeah, so when I start to walk, I like to know as little about it as possible, really, and find out for myself what's along the way. And a classic case in point is the Cape Wrath Trail, which is a walk I'm going to be doing this year, sort of end of April, May. And the Cape Wrath Trail has a couple of really good guides for it, actually. And a couple of people I follow on Twitter and blogs that I follow have written really good guides. Cicerone Press, Ian Harper, has written a really good guide for Cicerone Press about the Cape Wrath Trail. Very detailed. And a friend of mine on Twitter, he's also in the process of writing a kind of a guidebook as well, and has sent me a draft copy of that to pursue. But as I mentioned to him, I won't be reading the guidebook before I go. I may take it along with me, just as a sort of, I don't know, something to fall back on. But more likely I will leave it until I get back from doing the Cape Wrath Trail and read it then, because I want to go and do the Cape Wrath Trail myself. I don't need to know the dangers along the way. I don't need to know what problems I might encounter or what sights I might see. I'll find all those out for myself. And that's the point. That's the point of my kind of hiking and backpacking is that I like to find out things for myself. I like to think of myself as the first person to walk that trail. And that's very easy to do on certain trails, such as the Cape Wrath Trail, which isn't a defined trail. And the trail itself will vary depending upon the time of the year, whether certain rivers are in spate, and various things like that. So you can start walking that path, knowing that somebody started at the same point of view, same point as you. For in this case, the Cape Wrath Trail, as it were, starts at Fort William and ends at Cape Wrath, and follows a sort of a line where people have gone before, if you like. But there's no pathways as such. There's no, certainly no waymarks and that sort of thing. And you do need navigational skills for it. You do need to be able to read a map. You do need to be able to know how to navigate. And I love that. I like that sort of thing. I'm very lazy sometimes. When I'm hiking with somebody else, I let them take care of pretty much that side of things. I'll just walk along, and it saves me having to look at my phone or my maps, because whoever I'm walking with is usually doing that themselves anyway, because that's what they enjoy doing. And I just follow along, enjoying the views and the scenes as I go. So there's a lot to be said for guidebooks, but there's also a lot to be said for not using them. If you're planning on doing a hike, why not just go and do it? If you're experienced enough and know how to read a map, and you know sort of basically how to look after yourself, then just why bother with a guidebook? Just go for it. Or find a trail that nobody's walked before, or make your own trail and go for it and just walk it. Don't be worried about what, don't plan too far ahead. Don't go zooming in onto Google Earth and studying OS maps, because remember, the first pioneers, the first people who made these trails and paths, didn't do any of that. You know, well, not all of them. I mean, some people, of course, designed a path when they had mapping already, and looked at the way, looked at the ley lines, looked at the contours, looked at the obstacles, and put a path in between them, or around them, or over them, or through them, and then walked it. But even those people had never walked that path before until they actually walked it. So that's another option, you know. I mean, I think let's be less reliant upon guidebooks. Let's be less reliant upon what other people have done before, other people's experiences. And make our own experiences. If we encounter a difficulty, let's work it out for ourselves. Because somebody else has already worked it out and put it in a guidebook. So if they've worked it out, it can't be insurmountable. Find out for yourself. It's adventure. It's pioneering. And when you're walking a trail and you know very little about it apart from where to start and where to finish, and you're just using maps to forge your own path, isn't that exciting? Isn't that truly going on an adventure?